This morning, I want to teach, I want us to think about our elders for a few moments together. We are coming up, it won't be too long until we will have elders in place once again for about a year. And so as it's probably a good time for us to think about our relationship with elders. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. But I want you to think about the question, why do we need elders? You know, I guess you could kind of be a smart aleck, which I'm not above doing, you know, and just say, well, hey, the Bible says we need elders and that's good enough for me. Well, okay, if that's what you want to say, that's fine. But I don't, that doesn't really get to the heart of helping us understand and appreciate the importance that this relationship ought to have for us. There's a reason God commanded us to have elders. And I think we can begin to see that when they are called shepherds. And I said a few months ago that I'm trying to replace the word elder in my vocabulary with the word shepherd, because it is a much better word at describing what God wants from them. And let's face it, we can have elders, we can want elders for some wrong reasons. I think sometimes we think, well, we want to have elders because that makes us look scriptural. I heard a man say to me one time, well, having unqualified elders is better than having no elders at all. Wrong, wrong, wrong. One of the worst things you can do to a congregation is appoint unqualified men. So it's not just about looking scriptural. Some people, I think, want to appoint elders, so, okay, now we got elders, so I don't have to do anything. We'll let those guys worry about that. That's not the way it's supposed to be either. I think we appoint men, and in no way am I trying to knock what was said about what Carl said, because he's exactly right when he says, you know, the elders' responsibility is how we spend the money. But that's not the only thing that they're about. You know, sometimes we'll have those guys. They'll be the ones responsible for spending money, and then we don't have to worry about it. That's not right either. Oh, well, they're the guys now. They're going to take care of the visitation, so we don't have to do that now. That's not what it's about. One of the things, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more later in the sermon, but I think sometimes we think of elders as decision makers. You know, that's what you guys do, Ross and Greg, you make decisions. And what we think that means is, are we going to clean the carpets or not? Well, let's clean the carpets. Are we going to use Welch's grape juice or Sam's Choice grape juice? Well, there's a decision the elders can make for us. And certainly, they make decisions. But there's more to it than that. There has to be something behind the decisions, and there has to be some change going forward on the decision. And listen, if they're making the decision between Welch's grape juice and Sam's Choice, they're doing the deacon's job anyway. But I think, that's what we think. Ezekiel chapter 34 is a great chapter about what God is looking for in godly leaders. And I have mentioned this chapter in passing before, that it ought to be one of those chapters that elders and us and people who want to be elders someday ought to just turn to from time to time and just read and study and get familiar with it. Because this is what God wants for His flock. And for God to get this from His flock, this is what He needs from His shepherds. First thing I want us to see, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. And I just want us to understand from this passage that we're going to see, we need shepherds. That's why we need elders, because we as the sheep need shepherds. Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning in verse 1, says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed up those who were sick, nor bound up what was broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. You know, again, a lot of things could be said about this passage, but one of the things that I want us to see is that it becomes utterly evident as we read these passages how dependent the sheep are on the shepherds. The very first thing that God calls into question about the shepherds is, look, instead of feeding my sheep, you're feeding yourselves off of them. And I hope we understand that He's not talking about real shepherds out there with real sheep. He's talking about the leadership of Israel. And the sheep are the people of God, and the shepherds are the leaders that He's appointed. And He says, listen, you're taking advantage of my people. You're supposed to be leading my people. You're supposed to be feeding my people. You're supposed to be taking care of my people. And instead, you are gaining advantage because of them. So one of their primary jobs is to feed us and to take care of us. And in the passage that Dylan read in 1 Peter chapter 5, depending on your translation, that's one of the first things that Peter says. He says, feed the flock. Really, the better translation there is shepherd the flock. And because there's a whole lot more about shepherding than just feeding. But that is a big part of it. They are responsible for our spiritual diet. It's their responsibility to make sure that we get the kind of food that we need. And not all of us need the same kind of food, just like if you had a flock of sheep. Not all of the sheep need the same kind of food. He also talks about the fact that these sheep hadn't taken care of them, and that was their job. He said, you haven't healed the sick. You haven't bound up what is broken. And that's the idea of mending a broken limb. You haven't brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. Remember that story that Jesus tells about the lost sheep and about how the shepherd was willing to leave the 99 behind to go find one lost sheep. And then when he found it, he put it on his shoulders and brought it back, and there was much rejoicing. That's their job. Their job is to care for us. And part of that is leading us in the right way that we should go. And that's what he said. He says, because there are no shepherds, my sheep are scattered. They're everywhere. But you know what a shepherd is supposed to do? Lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. Take us to where there is cool water and green pastures. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to lead us in those ways. They're supposed to keep us from harm. And again, Peter says the same thing, that elders are supposed to lead. They lead us. I don't know about you, but the only time I can be led is when I'm following. And so there you see that relationship. And what Jesus says when He talks about Him being the good shepherd, He talks about His sheep. Remember what He says about the sheep? I call out and they follow me. I know them by name and they know me by name, and nobody else can touch them. Do you notice in verse 8, He says, because there is no shepherd, that his sheep have become prey. They have become food for the beast of the field. Because, see, the shepherd's job is to keep the wolves out. Y'all remember those cartoons used to come on Looney Tunes where the dog, you know, the sheep dog was on duty and there's the coyote out there and all. Do you ever remember in all of those antics, do you ever remember the coyote ever getting a sheep? Never. And that's what shepherds are supposed to be like. That's what leaders are supposed to be like. They're supposed to be on guard. I mean, there were times when that coyote, man, he had the best disguise in the world. But guess what? The sheepdog knew who he was, spotted him, and put him in his place. You start reading Titus chapter 1 and you find out that's what elders are supposed to do. And then you remember what Paul says when he called the Ephesian elders to Miletus. He called them to himself and he says, listen, I want you to know something. He says, I want you to take heed to yourself and the flock because grievous wolves are going to come in among you. He says, not only that, some are going to rise from among you. You know who he was talking to? The elders. So he was saying, even some of you elders are going to rise up and seek to take disciples off by yourself. And he said, you remember that I told you this. You remember that I did not cease to warn you day and night. Be on guard. You be on watch. So that the wolves don't come in. And so that among yourselves people don't rise up to draw away disciples after themselves. You know what? When I think about all of this, when I think about all that a shepherd is supposed to, you know, one of the things that comes out, one of the underlying characteristics of all these things is that the shepherd has to know the sheep. They have to know who we are. And again, when you look at Jesus as the good shepherd, you remember one of the things that he said about the reasons that made him a good shepherd was because I know my sheep. Our elders have a responsibility to know where we are at. Let me make this more personal. They have a responsibility to know where you're at. Physically, spiritually, and emotionally. They are responsible for us. On the day of judgment, they're not going to only give answer for their own soul. They're going to give answers for the souls that were put under their watch. That's scary. I know it's scary. And I know from talking to both of our elders, this is one of the things that keep them up at night. You know, I think sometimes when it comes to elders, we have this idea that they need to mind their own business sometimes. Let me tell you something. When they're minding their own business, they're minding yours. That's their job. Their job is me and you. We are their business. And we need to remember that. The purpose in me pointing all this out really isn't to talk about the work of the shepherd nearly as much as it is to address the attitude of the sheep. Because we need to understand that this relationship is a two-way process. You know, we have to remember that since elders are ordained by God, God picks them, God qualifies them, God helps them. And since they're ordained by God, we need to understand that means that they're for our good. And we're going to see this in a minute, that God intends for the shepherds of the flock to be a great blessing to us. I mean, if we're going to have faith in God, what God says, that for without faith it is impossible to please Him, for those who come to Him must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So you see, what that means, brethren, is that when we are scripturally organized, that God is blessing us through the means that He has laid forth. And so we have to appreciate that. And our relationship to them is a direct correlation to our faith in God. And it also shows our trust in the shepherds. You know, when you think about all that the shepherds were supposed to be doing, and when you see what Jesus says when he talks about being the good sheep, being the good shepherd, you see that the sheep trust the shepherd. I'll tell you what, that's why the qualifications are so stringent. It's not just to make it hard on us men to become qualified. No, that's not it. It's so that when we look at those qualifications and we say this man meets the qualifications, we're understanding something. This is a spiritually mature man that we can trust. See, he's married. So if I have a problem in my married life, I can go to him and I can say, hey, what do I do here? He's supposed to have believing children. So if my children aren't behaving right, I can go to him and say, hey, you know, help me out here. What's this all about? He's not a novice. He's able to teach all of those things so that we can go to him and say, help me out here. Lead me. Shepherd me. Show me the way. And let me tell you something. If you don't feel our elders have that, they should have never been appointed to begin with. But by the very fact that we've appointed them, we have made the declaration. We trust you. Shepherd us. Lead us. That means we're going to have to be humble. We have to realize that we are dependent upon them. Go, hold your place here in Ezekiel and turn to 1 Peter 5. I tried to get Dylan to read 2 Peter 5, but he wouldn't do it. And if you turn and look for it, you'll find out why Dylan wouldn't read 2 Peter 5. But 1 Peter chapter 5, and in verse 5, he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Let me ask something. God prescribes elders. God ordains elders. God wants there to be elders in the church. So when there's elders in the church and we submit to them, who are we really submitting to? God. That's who we're really submitting to. I want to tell you something. You know where the rubber hits the road when it comes to submission? When somebody asks you to do something you don't want to do. See, and that's how we are sometimes. You know, Ross and Greg, we'll support you as long as you make decisions that we like. But when you make a decision that we don't like, man, am I going to whine, complain, and you know what? I might even leave. Well, that's not submission. And if we're going to say the elders have the authority to make judgment calls and human judgment, and they make a human judgment call, guess what? We submit. In the congregation where we were at in Galena, the elders decided they didn't want birthday party invitations handed out in the congregation. They decided they just didn't think that looked good. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't care what you think about handing birthday cards out, but the elders said no. Guess what? You're done. And if you complain and you whine about it, you're sinning. That's just the way it is. Can they make judgments in human when it comes to, can they make decisions when it comes to human judgment? Yes. And so when they do, we submit. And that's it. Being submissive also means we don't have to understand why. Have you ever looked at one of your kids and you said, hey, I want you to go do this. And the kid says, well, why? And you said, because I'm the dad. You ever said that? I always heard, I'm the mom. That's what I always hear, because I'm the mom and I said so. And I knew it was time to shut up and just do what I was told to do. We don't always have to understand why. That's part of being submissive. You know, humble submission is the highest form of trust. When my wife submits to me, I know she's saying, I trust you to make this decision. And again, do we trust them or not? Now, just so nobody jumps on me at the end of services, hey, look, if the elders ever try to dictate something not found in the Scriptures, we need to put a stop to it. They are not above God's laws.
And I know they would both agree with me saying that. So I'm not at all saying if they came along and said, hey, listen, you know what? It's our judgment that the Lord's Supper shouldn't be taken every first day of the week. We're just going to take it once a quarter now to make it mean something. Every one of us ought to jump up and say, ho, ho! It's not what the Scriptures say. Let's do what the Scripture says. So, but, you know, if they say stop passing birthday cards, we'll just stop passing birthday cards and we'll keep our mouth shut. As long as they stay within the bounds that God has given them, we need to stay in the bounds that God has given us. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 34. I want you to see another reason why we need shepherds. Let me tell you something. This is one of the big reasons. And I know that this is one of the things that elders deal with a lot. And that is that sheep don't always treat each other like they ought to. Beginning in verse 17, he says, "And as for you, O my flock," you see that he's been fussing at the shepherds, but now he's going to fuss at the flock. "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between ram and goats. Is it too little for you that you have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture? And that you have drunk the clear waters, that you must foul the residue with your feet? And as for you, my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with the side and shoulder, but at all the weak ones with your horns and scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my shepherd David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." You see what's going on? You know, he says, listen, all right, sheep, you all haven't behaved like you ought to either. And so he talks about how they were behaving selfishly. Did you see that? It says, look, not only do you go and eat the good grass, but you trample everything else down so that nobody else can eat. You know, you go to the waters where and you walk all in them and you foul them. You got to drink clear water, but because you don't care about anybody else, you're fouling up all the other water and making it where nobody else can drink it. And then you turn around and you butt with your head the sheep that are weak, push them out, drive them away. He said, listen, it ain't supposed to be that way. And the shepherd's job is to step in and make sure those things don't happen. I think it's interesting. Remember how many times Jesus looked at Israel and he said, man, they are like a sheep without shepherd. Look at Mark chapter 6 for one instance. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 33. Jesus trying to get away for some quiet time with his apostles. And all the crowds keep coming to him. So in verse 33 it says, "But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran on their feet from all the cities. And then they arrived before them and came together. And when Jesus came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." Jesus rebukes the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 because they were the kind of guys who were supposed to be shepherds. They were supposed to be the leaders. But look what they were doing. Matthew chapter 23 in verse 13. He says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive the greater condemnation." See, the Pharisees were doing the same thing that the sheep were doing in Ezekiel chapter 34. They were getting fat off the people, but they were refusing to allow the people to eat and enjoy God's
blessings. The people of Israel of Jesus' day were suffering because their leaders had abandoned them. They shoved the weak aside, didn't defend them or help them. And that's what they were supposed to do. Let me tell you, when we see and read about these sheep mistreating others, that's there for us to see ourselves. Peter wrote, Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he says, listen, be careful. Don't bite and devour one another unless you consume each other. And sometimes that's what we do. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies. Sometimes we bicker and complain about each other to the point where we drive people off. Sometimes we bicker and complain about each other to the point where we just tear each other down. And without godly leadership, that's what we're reduced to sometimes. You know, everybody has an opinion, and all you have to do is say yours and somebody will freely disagree with it. You know, that's one of the beautiful things about business meetings, isn't it? Whoo-wee. I heard one time elders had recently been appointed, and somebody came to the elders and said, are we still going to have business meetings? Whew. You ladies, you just don't know what you're missing. So the elders have to look out for that. They have to be willing to separate us from ourselves when we need it. They have to be willing and able to stand in and help us through our problems so that we're not bickering and fighting with each other. Now again, I am not, just to make this clear, I'm not talking about standing for the truth. We must stand for the truth. And if the truth separates us, there's only one thing for us to do, and that's to pray for the person who doesn't believe what's true, that they'll have a change of heart and come back. But we are never going to compromise the truth as God's people. But shame on us when our petty bickering and squabbling causes people to leave the Lord. And it happens. And there's always innocent casualties too. If you ever notice that when there is a split in a congregation, you've got some people who know why they left and they leave. You've got some people who stay and they know why they stay. And then you have some people who leave because they don't know what's going on. They know Christians shouldn't behave like this. They don't know what's going on. And they just leave. And they fall through cracks. Just this week, I was reminded about when we had some trouble at Galena and some people left. There was a couple of people who left. They didn't know why they left, but they ended up going to a denomination. And it happens. Again, that's why we need godly leadership to make sure those things don't happen. And again, elders can stop this bickering in several ways. First of all, again, as I said, yes, they are decision makers. They make the decisions about human judgment, and we all just sit back and we deal with it when it's judgments. I've heard about congregations who got in squabbles where there was no elders. They got in squabbles because they didn't like the new drapes that somebody else put up. You know, well, the elders can put an end to all that. The godly leadership can put an end to all that. Again, we have to submit. We have to follow when it comes to those judgment things. They must take heed to the flock, is what Paul said to the elders in Ephesus. You know, I think taking heed to the flock means, first of all, they have to live by example, and then they have to correct those who are wrong. That's the idea of mending those broken bones. And then by their love, they strengthen and heal others. There are times when we need somebody to come to us and say, listen, you're wrong. David talked about that during the gospel meeting. We need somebody to look us in the face and say, you're wrong. And the most qualified men in the congregation to do that are the shepherds. There are other times where we need somebody to show us some love and to strengthen us in our weak times. And again, you look at James chapter 5. Guess who's supposed to be heading up that work? Elders. And when I think about that, again, the very nature of the qualifications God has given them makes them
able to exercise greater wisdom in that situation than me. They're supposed to be wise. They're supposed to be gentle. They're supposed to have been fathers. And, you know, all of us dads know that there are times where you got to step in between your kids and solve some problems. And so they're supposed to have those things. And so they're supposed to be able to help us be the kind of people we would have to be.
Lastly, I want us to realize and kind of understand that the reason we need elders is so God can bless us. Look at Ezekiel chapter 34. Read beginning in verse 25. God says, "I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their seasons. There shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land. They shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hands of those who enslaved them. And they shall no longer be prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely. And no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God." Did you notice in verse 25, God says, "I will make a covenant with them"? God had already made a covenant with Israel, so what's He talking about? He's talking about that same covenant Jeremiah talks about, that new covenant, that future covenant. And guess who that involves? Us. And so look at the blessings that He says that He's going to give. He says in verse 26, "I'm going to give them a shower of blessing." In verse 27, He says He's going to feed us with a good pasture. He says in verse 29 that we'll have peace. I'm 25, that we'll have peace and safety. In verse 27, He says that He would deliver us from those who enslave us. And in verse 28, He would make sure that we would pray for the nations no more. How do we get that? Through the shepherds He's going to appoint.
Verse 30,
He calls us His own. "I am your God, and you are my people. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture," He says. And these same blessings are enumerated in the New Testament. In the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled." Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 talks about the law that we have in Christ as the perfect law of liberty. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 talks about us being God's very own children. Again, I think we understand that all these blessings are spiritual in nature. And therefore, we understand that the elders, our shepherds' primary focus is the spiritual well-being of the flock. That means your spiritual well-being. Deacons are supposed to be appointed so they can care for the physical things, so they can take care of the little things, so that the elders can focus on the big things. And the big things the elders need to focus on is me and you. Shepherds, watch out for our souls. And that means that we must trust and follow. We must allow God to bless us through them, by their leadership, by the direction they provide, and by their concern for our spiritual well-being. The next time the elders, or one of the elders, comes to you and says, "How are you doing spiritually?" Don't get defensive. Don't put up that wall. Don't think to yourself, "Well, what right do you have to ask me?" Understand, they're concerned about you. and they want to make sure that you are receiving the blessings of God. Again, I want us to remember that this is about relationships. And the most important aspect about having elders is your and my personal relationship with them. We didn't appoint Ross and Greg just so we could sit back and say that we have elders. We appointed them so that they would shepherd us. I want you to look at one final passage with me. Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 17, the Hebrew writer says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account." This is what I want you to really hear. "Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." The way they can do their job with joy and without grief is told in verse 17. If we will obey and be submissive, remembering that they watch out for our souls. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter reminds the elders, of whom he is also an elder, that they will be held in account. They will be held accountable by the chief shepherd. You notice right there in the middle of Ezekiel chapter 34 that God talks about a descendant of David that was coming to be the shepherd. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the shepherd of God's people, went to that cross to die for my sins. He was raised from the grave on the third day to be my king, to be my shepherd, and to be your king and your shepherd. Most important thing for you to do in your life ever and always is to be submissive to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you've been given a great opportunity today to be here and to have an opportunity to come to Jesus, and have your sins forgiven, to make Him the shepherd of your life so that He can lead you through the valley of the shadow of death, so that He can lead you to quiet and still waters and green pastures. Jesus isn't your sheep, your shepherd. You're a lost sheep. Maybe you are a Christian, but you've wandered away from the fold of safety. You know how dangerous it is out there. You know better than anybody how dangerous it is out there. Come back home. Angels of heaven will rejoice this morning if you make your life right with Him. If we can help you in any way, won't you come right now as we stand and sing the invitation song?